to the book of Romans, chapter number 10, Romans chapter 10. We finished up in this portion of scripture last week, Romans chapter 10. If you are able to stand with me tonight, Romans 10, I want to pick up here in the middle of the chapter and let's pick up at verse number 9. Verse number 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and Jesus is God, he's Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And you want to have beautiful feet, this will tell you how your feet can be beautiful. And some of you may have stinky feet, but they can still be beautiful feet, okay? And here's the Bible telling you how to have beautiful feet. But I want to just look at this tonight as to the need of a soul winner. The need of a soul winner. And this was kind of the last thought or the message that Brother Hudson shared that he wanted to have portrayed, wanted to have proclaimed, and it was proclaimed very wonderfully at his funeral, the need for a soul winner. I'd like us with that to go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God that you've given unto us and the statutes of the Lord. They're pure, righteous altogether. Lord, your word is precious, powerful, wonderful. It's life transforming. Your word changes us. Your word builds faith. And faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We read that later in this chapter. And Lord, help us tonight. I pray that you would challenge our heart. And Lord, that God, you would help us to see from your perspective. And as we saw last week, you were moved with compassion because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And Lord, you've been burdened for a lost and dying world, left the glory of heaven, came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. I thank you that souls are at the very heart of your thought, of your message. Lord, help us tonight, I pray. Speak through us and to us in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated here this evening. And I mentioned that Brother Hudson's last message, and I said just a few words about that this morning. If I understand correctly kind of how this came about, his latter years, really, he struggled in breathing, struggled with oxygen, was on oxygen, and just a week or so before he passed away, late one night, he called to his wife, and he said, I've got a message on my heart. And he said, I want you to write down these verses for me. And one of the verses was from Isaiah 65, I believe. And then there was Romans chapter 10. It was this passage of scripture that we read here just a moment ago. He said, I want you to write down this scripture. And she says, well, let me just record the message. And it was very difficult to hear him speak. He was struggling with breathing, but it was really a powerful, powerful message. And they kind of closed the funeral with this message. And he said, as I'm looking at this, this needs to be preached. It needs to be preached. And it was preached there by him at his funeral. And really, as he looked at this, many are bound in sin. They're bound in lostness. They don't know the way out. Religion has failed them. They need somebody to bring to them the message of Jesus Christ, the message of salvation. And he said to her, as he gave this message, I believe, needs to be shared. It needs to be preached. It needs to be shared all over. Now, for Brother Hudson, that thought was very, very real. He was one that was lost, and he knew that he was lost. We shared just kind of the background, grew up in the home of an alcoholic family, alcoholic home. Alcohol destroyed the home, destroyed the family. He took his first drink as a boy and just made his way to dad's refrigerator, took a beer. And he said, everybody is talking about alcohol and how good it is. And by the way, it's not good. And he can give you that testimony. But took that drink and headed into a life of alcohol. And alcohol wrecked his life. And we told the story. He was dismissed from the army. It was an honorable discharge. He was a very good soldier, other than alcohol. And they called it at that time a disease. We understand that it's an addiction. We understand that it is a sin issue. It's a sin problem. But they, on his discharge papers, Private Hudson, an alcoholic, there is no hope of recovery. He had been through through all of the training, the counseling, everything, trying to bring him out of that. There was no hope. He had been through religion. He had been to the chaplains and all of the messages, and there was no hope of recovery. They gave up. There's no way this man can be reformed. He can never be changed. They didn't know about Jesus. And as he was dismissed from the army, was living with his uncle, and one night smoking and drinking, and in a stupor, he burned his uncle's house down. And he went from there to the streets, just living out on the streets, and was in a bar, kicked out of a bar. And being kicked out of the bar, he said, nobody wants me, not even the bar. The army doesn't want me. My uncle can't have me. The bar doesn't even want me. And he's living out on the streets, contemplating taking his own life. But there were a couple of soul winners, and one of them was there at the funeral. And they had just been to a soul-winning conference. And at that soul-winning conference, they were challenged to take the message of Jesus Christ to a lost world. And so they were putting that into practice. And they were from the Independent Baptist Church just down the road from the bar. And they were out, and they saw him out in the gutter. And as he described it later, puke all over him. And giving up on life, giving up on hope. And they said, we want to share a message with you. And he says to them, I don't want religion. He had been through the counselors. He'd been through church. His family had a religious background, but alcohol, again, destroyed that family. He says, I don't want religion. And one of the soul winners says, it's not religion that we're here to offer you. We're here to give you a message about Jesus Christ and about a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So that was his testimony. What religion could not do for Bob Hudson, the Lord Jesus Christ did. There in front of that bar, the story is that he bowed on his knee right there. He called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He cried out. And that soul winner that was there at the funeral then took him to his house and cleaned him up and began to mentor him, began to disciple him, helped him through the withdrawal stages of the alcohol, and got him discipled and began to train him and took him out soul winning himself and began to teach him how to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everything changed. He got involved in church, became active in church, never touched another drop of alcohol after that point. And the story was told us as to how God gave him his wife, Marilyn. And we knew Bob and Marilyn Hudson, and just the wonderful family relationship they had, very close as husband and wife. God blessed their family with 5 children, now 17 grandchildren. The children serving the Lord, the grandchildren serving the Lord. God called him into the ministry. God took this man that the army did not want, the man that the family could not have, the man that the bar did not want, and Jesus Christ wanted him, and made something special of his life. And became a living testimony, a trophy of God's grace. And the grace of God that was poured out upon his life and the legacy that was left behind the preachers. I'm a testimony of a preacher that was touched by his life and by his legacy and knew just the testimony. He was real, and that's the Bob Hudson I knew. He was real. And I believe because of the past, was just humble in his service to the Lord Jesus Christ. And see, he never forgot from whence he came, and that's what just came across to me. It was a heart of compassion for the lost, and and everywhere that he was. He knocked on doors. That's what I knew him. He would go to doors because he remembered how some soul winners came to him with the message of Jesus Christ, and he wanted to get that message out to others, the message that had changed him. And so he carried tracts with him. He knocked on doors, and he looked for opportunities to preach. He preached in prisons. He preached to the down and the out, and he believed in the power of the gospel because he had experienced the power of the gospel. Had a burden for missions, and because of what the gospel had done for him, his burden was to get the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world. And three of his children became missionaries. We supported Brother Matt Hudson, who now pastors in Albuquerque. And Brother Matt Hudson was in the Ukraine. We supported his son, Philip, who now is a church planter in Texas. He was in Uganda. And we supported his son, Paul, who is now the pastor of the church that he pastored there in Pampa. And his son, Paul, was in Uganda. And for a time, his daughter and son-in-law were heading to India. And we had taken them on. And that son-in-law now pastors a church. And that's just kind of the legacy, that burden for missions. He gave sacrificially because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it was a soul winner. And so that was the message that he said needs to be delivered. We must have soul winners. We need soul winners. We must get the gospel out to a world that needs Jesus Christ. Now, as I think about this and look at Romans chapter 10 and some of the reasons why I think this was special to him and why perhaps this was the last passage that he called attention to, several thoughts. You go back to verse number 1 of Romans 10, and we'll see here a passion for the gospel. And a soul winner must have a passion for the gospel. Here Paul shares his own heart. He says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Here's Paul. He's burdened for his own people. He says, "My heart, my passion, my burden, my prayer to God is that they might be saved." And he's sharing in this section of Scripture the blindness that has come to this nation and to this people. You go back with me to Romans chapter 9, and this is hard to comprehend, and yet this is the heart and the passion of Paul for the gospel. He says in verse number 1, "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh." What Paul is saying is, my burden for my people is so great that I would be willing to be accursed from God. I would be willing to die and face hell. That's the burden that I have. I long to see them saved. I have that passion. I have that burden for them. And see, Paul could identify with them. You go back to chapter 10 and verse number 2. "I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God." They were ignorant of God's righteousness. They looked to the law, and yet they could not fulfill the law. And they thought by the law they could earn their way to God, but they fell short of the glory of God, and they were ignorant of Christ's righteousness. They were proud of their own righteousness, and they did not see the need of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what religion does to one. The religion of the world doesn't bring peace with God, doesn't bring righteousness from God, but it brings pride in heart. And I hate religion because religion is man's effort to earn his way to God, and it's an impossibility. And religion breaks the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were proud of their own righteousness. Paul gave his testimony in Philippians chapter 3 of this very thing. His zeal for God and the things of God. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees, raised in the strictest of religion. But Paul said, "What things were gained to me, those I counted but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord." When Paul heard the gospel on the road to Damascus, He had to set aside his own religion, had to set aside his own righteousness and receive the righteousness that can only come through the gospel of Jesus Christ, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here was Paul's testimony, his passion for that gospel. I believe a soul winner must have a passion for those that are lost. And eternity is real. Heaven is real. And hell is real. And the psalmist said it this way, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." We sang the song this morning, "Set My Soul Afire." And that song goes on to say, "For the lost in sin, make my life a witness as I seek to win." And that ought to be our burden. And here I don't think Paul ever got over what the Lord did for him. He never forgot from whence he came. He never forgot the road that he was on. He never forgot his lost estate. He never forgot just the emptiness. I think when he was there present to Stephen was stoned, he saw something in Stephen that he did not have in his own heart. He saw a peace that Stephen had because of the gospel that he did not know. And I've never known one in religion that had that peace that only the Lord Jesus Christ can give. Religion can't offer that. And that's why a Bob Hudson can't find peace through religion, can't find peace through alcohol, can't change a life through all of those things. And there must be a relationship with Jesus Christ. And don't ever forget that if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. That passion, that step that you've come through, the righteousness of Jesus put to your account, and your sin put to his account. A soul winner has to have a passion for the gospel. But a soul winner must present the person of the gospel. See, the gospel centers around a person. Not around religion, but around a person. You look in verse number 4 of Romans 10. "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." That's the gospel, the person of Christ. When Brother Alan Wingo witnessed to Bob Hudson, as he witnessed to Brother Hudson, he presented the person of Jesus Christ. He said, "I'm not here to give you religion. That's not going to change you. That's not going to make a difference. I'm here to share with you about Jesus. I'm here to give you the answer. And Jesus is the answer." And he presented the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about Jesus. And I'm talking about having a personal relationship with that Savior." See, Christ is the end of the law to all who believe. Christ is the end of religion to all who believe. Christ is the end of your own efforts to all who believe. The law says, "Do this and live." In verse 5, Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. The law says, quit drinking, go to church, pray, be good. But the law has no power to change you. And the harder you try to fulfill the law, the worser you get. And the more you realize what a wicked sinner you are. And you have no power to change your own life. You can try to quit and try to quit and try to quit. And you can try to turn over a new leaf, but you have no power to change your own life. The law cannot do that. No one has ever done the law perfectly. But Christ says something different. In verse 6, "The righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend to heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up again from the dead. But what saith that the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, in thy heart? That is the word of faith which we preach." See, Christ says, "Come to me and live," the word of faith. "Come to me and I will live through you. Come to me and receive the new birth. Come to me and I will give you a new heart." The law shows us the need of Christ. The law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ and to point us to Christ, but the law has no power to save or to change. And the power that saves and changes is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, there must be a passion for the gospel. Don't ever forget from which you've come. There is that person of the gospel, that's Jesus Christ. He's the one we preach. He's the one that saves. He's the one that changes a life. And with that, the soul winner must understand the power of the gospel. See, the power of the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The gospel speaks of resurrection power. The gospel speaks of a Jesus that went to the cross and died for our sin and was buried and laid in the tomb, but up from the grave he arose. Death could not hold him. The gospel presents that power that Christ arose. Verse number 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The gospel has that power to give new life. That's what can take a Saul and make a Paul. That's what can take one who is bound by religion and involved in the persecution and murder of Christians and hating Christians. That's what can take a life and change it around and raise him to a new life and to a new beginning and give him a purpose and make him a gospel to the an apostle to the Gentiles, changing his life. See, the gospel can take an alcoholic Bob Hudson, and by the power of that gospel, raise him to a new life and give him a new beginning and give him a new life and a new purpose. That's the power of the gospel. And you know, as we go forth and we give the gospel, don't ever forget from whence you've come, but don't ever forget the power of God to change a life. And the most hopeless individual, that individual out in the gutter with puke all over him, may be the next Paul the Apostle, maybe the next Bob Hudson, because of the power of the gospel to change a life. You notice here just the very simplicity, verse 9 again, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Conversion takes place in the heart. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's not complicated. Religion is complicated. It's very simple. Christ paid the debt. He paid the debt in full. He cried from the cross, "It is finished." His righteousness can be put to your account, and your sin can be placed to his account. You can be forgiven your sin under the blood of Jesus as far as the east is from the west, to the depths of the sea, to be remembered no more, blotted out forever and ever. The power of the gospel, that simplicity of the gospel, is the power to forgive your past. It's the power to change your present and sanctify you and mold you to the image of Christ. And it's the power to give you a glorified body in the future resurrection. It's a simple gospel. But notice, and this is so important, this universal nature of the gospel. In verse 11, for the scripture saith, and notice this, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believe that's a legitimate offer to whosoever, to any that would come to Christ. You'll notice there's no difference. In verse number 12, he says, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. See, God's offer is to all, to Jew, to Gentile. And the Bible says there is no difference between Jew, between Gentile, between any nationality. We all go back to Noah. And in the eyes of the Lord, all are the same. In the eyes of the Lord, all need Jesus, male, female, rich, poor, lame, blind, any need the Lord Jesus Christ, all. And it's the power to all that will call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The power to save anybody who comes to Christ. Let's never forget that. You know, I think if we're not careful, we'll take this concept. Well, I'll take the gospel here. This one may listen to me, but boy, I don't know if this one will listen to me. No, we need to take the gospel to each and to everyone. Really blessed. We had a group on Saturday. They said, we're going to go out here to the 10th city right here in Española. And they went out to the 10th city, and they began to hand out tracts and taking the gospel to every part. We need to go to the wealthiest part of town. We need to go to the poorest part of town. We need to go to the middle class. We need to take the gospel to every door, to every single person, to every language, every tribe, every tongue, the power of the gospel. Now, that brings us to really this message tonight. It's the preaching of the gospel. Brings us back to Brother Hudson's last message. You see, there's a need for a preacher. There's a need for a soul winner. Verse 14. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? See, the gospel has the power to save. It has the power to change. But that power is worthless unless you get the message to the one in need. How shall they hear without a preacher? Somebody has to take the message. Somebody has to go. Somebody has to sacrifice. Here's the neat thing. God has chosen to use human vessels. Amen. To take the message. He could have used angels. He chose to use human vessels. That's you. That's me. That's us in all of our frailty. God chose to use an Alan Wingo, who goes to the streets of Phoenix, Arizona, goes to the bar. He didn't go to the bar. He went by the bar and sees one out there in the gutter. He takes the Bible, puts his arm around a drunk, and tells him about Jesus that loved him. He shares the gospel with him. He was challenged by God's word to be a soul winner. And in obedience to God, he went out with a friend to tell others about Jesus. And that night, there was a divine appointment. That night, there was a lost, hell-bound sinner. And that night, there was a soul winner with a burden and with a message. And God put the sinner and the soul winner together that night with the message that would bring salvation to a heart and would bring about the legacy that we witnessed with children loving the Lord, grandchildren serving the Lord. I wonder, there are many sinners out there. I wonder right here in our valley, in your neighborhood, I wonder if there's not another Bob Hudson. I wonder if there's not another Saul. I wonder if there's not another in deep need. Some are religious, some are alcoholic, some are addicts, some are homeless, some are searching, some are running, some are hurting, some are hopeless, some have given up. We're the soul winners. I thought, what if Alan Wingo had not gone that night? I wonder how many are in need of a soul winner. They're lost. They don't know the answer. They need a preacher. They need a soul winner to give the answer. There's a need for preachers, the need for soul winners to be sent. Notice in verse 15, how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, bring glad tidings of good things. I was thinking as we were in Cambodia just a month ago, went with Brother Randy to this man's house who has, he's the age of 50. He's raised in Buddhism, been involved in Buddhism all of his life, and he's beginning to ask some questions and beginning to search for answers, and he's been open to studying the Bible, and they've been going through the Bible and just going through really very foundational issues, going through creation and looking at the God of creation and how now the Creator has entered into the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, and just going through the basics. And I thought about this. Here's a man 50 years of age that is asking the right questions. He had never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ until Brother Randy went to share the gospel of Jesus with him. And I thought, what if Randy and Naomi had not answered the call to go to Cambodia? And there's a man lost in Buddhism that would never hear the gospel. I think of the 13, 14-year-old boys that recently called upon the name of Jesus there in Cambodia. Maybe the next preachers. Think about the two young ladies that recently got saved. And they have been raised in Buddhism, but as the gospel of Jesus was presented to them, they began to realize this is real. And in fact, they have even taken some strong stance not to do the sacrifices in the Buddhist temple because they realize they cannot bow the knee to a false god. See, Jesus changes. What if Randy and Naomi had not left here to go there to share the gospel? But the Bible says they must be sent. How shall they preach in verse 15 except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good news. Last week we looked at Matthew chapter 9. And if you would go there, let's just follow this through. And this important nature of being sent in Matthew chapter 9, verse number 36. Matthew 9, verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. There were multitudes of lost sheep. He saith to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. And we go on into chapter 10. And when he had called unto them his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness, all manner of disease. And we go to verse number 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then we move forward to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 10. There was Jesus going from city to city and village to village, and the need was so great. He said, pray the Lord of the harvest. He would send more laborers into the harvest. He called forth the 12, and he sent them two by two into the harvest. And yet he says, the need is so great. Pray the Lord that he would send forth more laborers. In Luke chapter 10, in verse number 1, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. And he sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. And the need is great. And he sent forth laborers, and yet the 70 was so short of the great need. As we read through the Bible, this is the heart of the Bible. The heart of the Bible is a God that so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. There was the church at Antioch in Acts chapter 13, if you would go there. They sent forth Paul and Barnabas. Acts chapter 13, in verse number 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. They ministered to the Lord, fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them, and they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into Seleucia. From thence they sailed to Cyprus. They were trained, they were called, And then they were sent with prayer and with finances to go out into that harvest. And yet the need is still so great. There may be a future Brother Bob Hudson right here in Española that somebody would go to and share the gospel and mentor him and disciple him. And God would raise him up as a future laborer for the harvest. Back again in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 14. Romans 10 and verse number 14. The Bible says, how shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? There are some fields that need some preachers. There are some homes that need to hear the gospel. William Carey was burdened for India. He preached a message that has now been very famous: expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. William Carey was burdened, and here was a statement that he made. He said, multitudes sit at ease and give themselves no concern about the far greater part of their fellow sinners, who to this day are lost in ignorance and idolatry. He goes on to challenge, how can we sit indifferent when multitudes are lost and undone? William Booth had a dream that he was floating down a river. He was bobbing up and down in that river. He was about to drown. Somebody threw out a life vest unto him and drew him to safety on the shore. As he came to safety on the shore, he looked out at that same river of life, and he noticed there were multitudes that were floating down that river of life, and they were bobbing up and down. They were lost, and he began to take that life vest, and he began to toss it out, and he began to pull them to safety one by one. Then he looked around himself, and he noticed that many of those that came to shore in safety were indifferent to the multitudes out on the river of life bobbing up and down. And it broke his heart that here are those that have been rescued, have no concern for those that are still lost. And he preached that message about reaching the lost. And I believe God is looking for those that will go, and he's looking for those that will send. And that's what our missions conference is all about. It's a passion for the gospel. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. It's a presentation of the person of Christ. He's the end of the law to all that believe. There's the power of the gospel. It has the power to save a Paul. It has the power because of resurrection power that Jesus could not be held in the grave. And yet that gospel must be preached. And God is looking for those that will go and preach and share. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.